Well, it's been an extended break, but we are back, and we're back with a bang, Adrian. We have Lord, or no, not Lord, Queen of Fishing in Victoria.
We got Queen Fisher.
Michelle G'day, Britton. Michelle. And she's come into studio today, and she's going to have a chat to us, not only about the work she's been doing with women in recreational fishing, which seems to be her nearly full-time gig at the moment, but she's also going to give us some tips a little bit later on, because I think there's a question from Joey, who can't be here tonight. He wants to know about big whiting.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not qualified to answer that.
Oh, we know you love your big whiting, David.
I love them.
You love
and I'm going to be I'll be listening intently as well.
Well, you can tell us about how you use sabikis to catch bait fish like whiting.
Yes, very, very disrespectfully. So, yeah, thanks for coming in again, Michelle. We've been meaning to get you on again, and it's great that you've been able to come on down to the studio. So, welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure. What have you been up to lately? I notice you've been globetrotting around to all the fishing shows and after wining and dining with the greats of the fishing world. We weren't invited, but... No, I heard everyone else was there.
Yeah, but I actually got some background info on Michelle.
Did ya?
You went to school with a certain someone and you had a glamorous nickname
called
the Summertime Barbie. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I'm only guessing because I surfed and very tanned and blonde back then. So that was my nickname, Summertime Barbie. But I'm pretty far off being a Barbie. But
okay.
I think... Yeah, that's what he rolled with. So it actually stuck too.
Yeah.
Was really sad.
Look, we didn't ask for any background information. It was just given to us.
Yeah. Mitch is a bit of a bully. I'm not surprised that he was giving people nicknames throughout high school. But more of the tomboy Barbie edition, would you say?
Yeah, probably more so that.
The cool one.
The Bogan Barbie.
That's right. What have you been up to?
Well, as you said, been globetrotting.
Yep.
So I went to AFTA. Luckily enough, this year it had been cancelled for the 2 years. So that was great to get out and about. This time I didn't go up with WERF, but I did go and do some WERF talks, which was fantastic, and meet the new Queensland group of WERF girls.
I heard it's expanding.
It is expanding. So each state now has their own WERF group. And I think Joe Starling as well has started up a women recreational league. So that, again, is another sort of women's group where she's got an app and you can – same process as WERF. You can post your fish and go into competitions. And, yeah, it's growing and it's really good. Everyone's excited about it. So
what kind of prizes can we win?
You can't win
there's lots of different sponsored prizes, yeah. They've got all sorts of different goodies, which is great.
So the Joe Starling one, is that nationwide or is that New South Wales? Because there'd be WERF New South Wales already, wouldn't there?
Yeah, no, she is nationwide now. Yep. So it did start off in New South Wales, but now it is nationwide. So,
actually started there. I thought it started in Victoria.
No, the WERF group did. The Women Rec League is New South Wales because Joe's
they're
in
competing.
New South
Wales. They're competing.
Yeah. It's going to be like a competition.
It's like PGA and that Greg Norman ex-golf, whatever that thing is.
The Donald Trump one, the Live.
is that what it is?
The Live Golf Tournament.
I know nothing about it, but I'm just drawing that similarity between the two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, so this year I got to experience as an industry member and worked for Blackmagic Tackle on the stand. So that was really great to see what customers are after and a different experience on the floor.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's fantastic. And we did see that our boy Jonah had a few posters up there at the after show. And
I was pretty keen to draw a moustache on him.
Yeah?
Oh, you should have.
Do you reckon Jonah could grow a good moustache, Dave?
Yeah, for sure. I'll give him a few years. And
Maybe three hairs.
Three-haired Jonah.
Word on the street is he got those banners printed of his own accord and sent them up there with explicit instruction to display them.
In the centre as well.
In prime view of everyone else.
Oh, goodness. And Jonah actually listens to our podcast religiously every week and reviews it, and he's going to be listening to this and
go, five stars for sure.
He's going to go, I can't believe Michelle's giving me grief here.
He's actually over in England at the moment, in Europe.
Yeah.
He is, and he's slaying the fish over there too.
He has a funny knack of that. I think it was a couple of years ago he went to America. Where did he go, Adrian?
He went to America. He did a trip and he caught like the biggest sturgeon ever caught out of that lake or something.
But there was also like a Atlantic salmon or something, and it was like completely out of season for him.
Yeah.
And he went to the local tackle store and the guy was like, oh, no, you won't catch one of them. And tin-ass Jonah goes down. I think he bought, like, some crap setup, went down and had a few casts, and he caught, like, one of the biggest ones they'd seen there in for a fair while and like, just completely tin-assed it.
Oh,
which is classic Jonah.
I bet it is.
So, he's over there at the moment, and he did send us a photo. He snuck out for a fish of his big... Well, white sea bass or something.
Well, it kind of looks cross between an Aussie salmon and a mullet, what he caught. One of those. But I bet, old Bobby's been fishing under the bridge for 50 years, has never caught one that big.
No, that's exactly right. We have a bit of a report coming up from Jonah a bit later. So
great.
That'll be quite interesting. But you know who else has been fishing overseas lately, Adrian?
No, I don't.
The man that should be... Well, you do.
Oh, yes. Joey. Mystical Joey.
But thank you for playing along. Yes. The man that should be sitting across from us in the other chair.
Yeah.
He's been over in Thailand.
He's been fishing in an exotic trout farm.
What makes it exotic?
Because they're not trout. There are other species like arapaimas and red-tailed Mekong... What are they? Carp or whatever?
Yeah. Actually, catfish. Hang on. I've got a photo here for you. If we can throw over to there. Uh-oh. It's not coming
there
up full screen.
Anyway.
Anti-tech Dave striking. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, you got it up?
Yeah.
There we go. There's Joey there.
So, we're not going to go too deep into this fishing extravaganza that Joe's had on his little family holiday because he's going to come in next week and I'm sure regale us
all
with
about his trout farm experience.
Regale us with tales of how the nice man let him wind in the big fish.
Yeah,
when he was at the exotic ponds of Thailand.
Yeah,
but something to look forward to there.
Absolutely,
I think, Adrian.
So you've talked about how Werf's expanding, and we believe that you've got another project on the go with a certain company with a certain fella, Ace.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So
can you tell us a bit about that?
I don't know about this, this is.
It's hot off the press.
It is.
Yeah. First time, wind against tide.
Wind against tide. Yeah. There's a project happening.
We're breaking news here, people.
Yes, where Michelle's going to be working with a certain company doing special things.
Fishing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm AFN's latest ambassador. So I'll be heading out with Bill... Jason at times and Peter, and we'll be doing some fishing and filming.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
And your style of fishing too,
Yes, I'll be fishing too.
Yeah. No, your style of fishing.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the whiting and...
Yeah, so we are going to tap into Port Phillip Bay, not only just the fishing side of things, but a little bit of documentary.
Yeah.
Just to get to know a little bit more about, Port Phillip Bay and what it has to offer, so it's great.
Awesome. How long will Jason spend in the makeup department getting ready for each episode versus everyone
He'll
else involved?
He'll do a few push-ups.
He'll get the pump going.
Yeah.
Do some nice rehearsals. But, that'll be awesome. That's a good get from AFN, I believe.
Yes.
Adrian.
Because I did see Michelle trying on these white gumboots the other day. I'm thinking, what's the link here?
Yes, I know they've been trying to put those white gumboots on me for a while. But, I mean, I fish barefoot and it's, the type of fishing I am doing with the topwater lures, you do need to be safe and wear your gumboots so you don't get any hooks in feet.
That is true.
Yeah.
Adrian's got some super secret gumboot action going on.
Oh, I certainly do. I'll show you off air later, Michelle.
Sounds good.
We're going to bring this to everyone's attention down the track. We're just working out some logistics and we'll be right back. Little teaser there for everyone.
They do make your boots scoot though. Once you put them on, you feel, a little bit
dance.
Sassy in them.
No.
Sassy's the word I'd use too.
A bit of Texas Alexis style in the big boots.
I don't know who that is, but yep. Good. Very good.
Michelle even knows who Texas Alexis is.
Hang on, I'll Google it. Put my screen on. Oh, no. I genuinely don't, but I'm kind of guessing. Yeah, so any fishing been going on, Michelle? Well, I know we were just talking about the horrendous Victorian weather, but have you snuck out in between any of the fronts?
Nothing to report about. My latest fishing expedition was the Blairgowrie Pier, and yep. It was running a bit slow. I went out with Frankie. She'd just finished a swimming lesson, wet hair, bored.
Wet hair, don't care.
Yeah, typical tired child at the end of the night. So yep. I didn't last, into the dark hours where, they usually will come out and play. But it was a beautiful sunset and nice to be there. So I can report on that. But no squid for me, unfortunately.
Squids.
Yeah. But,
squids can be tough this kind of year.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like a period where they just shut off and then the mega ones come out to play just suddenly. And
well, they have been firing up down the southern end of the peninsula. But, you just have to be lucky at the right time. And I think, some people say on the full moon they can be a little bit tricky as well with the bright light. But
they can,
they never have rules. They've got to eat at some stage. It's
They do. They've got a squid handbook. Yeah. They have to.
Maybe I had to give it a little bit more in my action.
You can't use any litre above 8 pound.
We're using specialised eggy rods and reels. And did you have, gloves and all the fancy... And a vest? Did you have a vest on?
Maybe that's what I was lacking.
And the sick gaff, the extendable squid gaff that you'll whip out on the pier?
Well, I did learn a lesson. Don't wear your pro team jumper when you're not catching any squid.
Oh, no.
Someone made mention, so where's all your squid pro team?
Oh, that's nasty.
Isn't it?
I would have pushed them in the water. so it is coming up to a good time here for squid. Hopefully this dirty water doesn't affect things too much, but springtime, Adrian, is
springtime spawning. In the entrance, big cephalopods come out to play.
And I did see some large ones down from Flinders the other day, and I'm told the water there's pretty clear despite all the rain flushing out the system. So
Well, I don't know after this week. It's been terrible.
No. That's why this was only a couple of days. A couple of days ago I was told that, so I was actually quite surprised. But
it is a little bit more protected there, though, and sometimes the rain does sort of shoot over the top there, which is really good. But we have had more northwesterly winds, which is better for Flinders as well.
Right. Yeah. Good tips.
So do you prefer fishing Flinders or Portsea for squid?
Well,
if you're land-based.
I'm so used to fishing like Portsea side.
Yeah.
And the whiting there is really good. So you just get a bit of everything there, the salmon, whiting, big leather jackets. You can get trevally in there.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit easier, I reckon, land-based.
Okay, easier land-based.
Yes.
And definitely. That's on the Port Phillip Bay side.
It's really hard because of the weed.
Yeah. A lot of guys will lose about $600 worth of squid jigs there.
Yeah, they do. Everyone just floats a jig there now. Yeah. But they are harder to get in Flinders.
Yes, it's quite thick, the weed down there. It's funny.
Kelpie.
Yeah, when you go down south, you'll lose a lot more tackle.
Yeah.
That's why we run a 20-pound litre.
Or run 40.
That does help, yeah.
Adrian does braid straight to jig.
Oh, yeah. Best way. You won't lose a jig that way.
No. And actually, your catch rates aren't really any different, to be honest.
They're not. But if you read the squid handbook,
it's
a big no-no.
You'd be put in jail by the squid police for that. So there's some large swells getting around, Michelle. Is the surfing heating up? Are you excited for a bit of surfing action coming up?
Yeah, there has been some good days of surfing. We've had some really good days, but then we've had some really bad days.
Mm.
So the wind swells have been sticking around for too long and making the waves all fluffy.
Oh,
it's
fluffy
not good
waves.
For you guys offshore either.
No, not in the micro the micro boat.
The 420 barrel buster.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been busting some barrels in it. We've been
We busted one off the other day.
My back's been getting busted as well.
How epic has this season been though?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's been the year of the barrel.
Yes.
So what's changed?
It's just
La Nina.
I guess it's like anything. There's just cycles, isn't there?
Yeah.
Whether they're gonna go or not.
Like
Snapper and Western Port wasn't too hot last season. Wasn't as
this
hot.
This season's meant to be better, though.
Well, according to the
recruitment.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That'll but then the weather could change that, too.
That's true.
That's right.
Mm. And we don't know if they've all been caught offshore in certain boats, but who knows?
Well, actually, if you wait for our reports, I've got I've got eyewitnesses of the red tide marching towards Port Phillip.
Do you remember that used to be in the paper? Like people would get aerial shots of the red tide coming through the port?
There used to be rumours, yeah, but unsubstantiated rumours.
Yes, but I'd never seen it. Yeah. I was wondering, you could say, oh, yes, I saw that.
No. Oh, I've seen videos of the snapper being like in a ball doing their spawning thing on the top of the water. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think they'd eat a bait or anything because they're just like spawning.
But you're on the job. Would you eat a bait while you're on the job? Well,
maybe. A slice of pizza maybe if it drifted, drifted past my face.
Oh, hang on. I've just turned chats on and Joey's been like full on fanboying Michelle, saying, hey guys, hi Michelle. I'm a huge fan of that calamari floor mat you have, Michelle.
Oh, how good is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you tell us about it?
I did see it. It looked pretty good.
Yeah. So AFN have got these awesome rubber mats.
Yeah. Dave's going to try to get it up.
I actually am. Can you believe this? Just stand still.
Well, I just recently posted it, so you can put it up. It's got little Frankie
in it. It's not that. It's just everything else. It's just...
But they're like a neoprene mat, and they've got a graphic design of different species.
Oh,
and
wow.
The calamari one looks awesome. It's really colourful. Frankie liked the calamari one.
Well, no, it's on your other one, isn't it?
Yeah, Shell Salt Living.
Oh, there we go. yeah, we'll just keep talking about the squid one that Frankie loves. And
So
you put it on the floor.
Here we go.
Well, you can put it anywhere.
Okay. So I've done it.
You can put it in your boat. You can, like, I would actually use that, like, so standing on it, getting my wetsuit on.
Yeah, so that's like a ute mat or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it'd be a nice play mat for Sam, my little outdoor boy.
Well, yeah, and they are really soft.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're very versatile.
No, he'd crawl off it in 2 seconds.
But they have a tuna one.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, snapper.
We hate tuna. We would not want that.
Look, some days we absolutely hate tuna because we burn a lot of money, we get broken backs, and it's just a bad time.
We're becoming aware that it's kind of all we talk about or fish for. But
we'll maybe get a tuna mat and your back won't break.
Yeah, I doubt it. Adrian's driving is probably more the culprit than the flooring.
Look, I try to drive where I stay on the plane.
Yeah, and I know.
If you go any slower.
And that's in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, the boat has to land at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually pulled up a little article. While I'm being a tech guru, I've pulled up a little article, which this would be a good one to talk about with Jace, but we've got one better. We've got Michelle.
Yeah.
So we've got an article from Vic Fisheries. I think a while ago we mentioned there was some of these...
The fads down at Portsea.
These cool fads going in.
Yeah, they're going to be just temporary, like where they put them in somewhere and remove them, are they? Or
no, I think they're staying there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I...
Michelle doesn't look happy about it. She's just like, yeah.
Well, because I surf down that way too.
Oh, you don't want to get attacked by a kingfish.
Look, it's only bronzies aren't, you know, the most aggressive sharks, but I've heard a few people getting nipped at.
Yeah,
they're friendly down our way.
They get to know you.
I read a thing a while ago of these divers at, I think it was Rye or something, getting fully harassed by one though.
Probably Wobbegong.
Wobbegongs? They actually are pretty
probably
aggressive.
Probably because the tuna frames were getting dropped
off. Oh, yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's a worry, isn't
that's
it?
That's why.
Yeah.
Kingfish and tuna frames tend to bring those ones in.
Well, you are wearing a shark beanie there, Shell.
Damn, it's cute, isn't it?
Yeah. What kind of shark is that? A white?
I think so.
Oh, where's that one from?
Salty Crew.
Salty Crew.
Another Spono. Another
Spono.
They're from California, aren't they, Salty Crew?
Aren't they? Yeah.
I thought that was American.
They are pro surfers, CJ and Damien Hobgood. Yeah.
Is that the same thing as Rip Curl or something? Don't they?
No.
Globe brand have it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Globe. Oh, yeah, like the skate brand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave likes Roxy Chick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's always wearing the pink Merc hat. And
yeah.
I'll get you some pink.
So Rip Curl Girl.
I'd actually love that. Thank you.
I'll get you a pink beanie.
That'd be good.
Do you remember back in the scene where the Trigger Brothers pink track pants were the thing to wear?
Everyone was rocking the pink ones, weren't they?
Because, you know, when you used to check the surf report, you go on triggerbrothers.com to check Point Leo, Crunchy Point and all that.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Yeah. I remember doing this in the early 2000s, like, oh, I wonder what the surf's doing.
Yeah.
And you go triggerbrothers.com and it'd be there.
don't
so you still
me.
Do that?
Yeah.
And you still wear your pink Trigger Brother track pants?
I don't have any pink, no. I've got probably green or something, yeah. Or navy.
They used to be everywhere. Now it's just kind of not fashionable anymore, I guess.
No, they still do make them, but they've had to change them up a little bit. Okay. They can't get the same dye or something, but they still sell them.
Oh, very good.
They're still cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for going off on a tangent away from my article, guys. Come on, guys. So the Victorian Fisheries Authority has deployed a total of 16 artificial reef modules within four clusters at a depth of around 28 metres. Reef modules are durable. Oh, they're just selling them now. They're durable, environmentally friendly cement, have large surface area for colonisation of marine plants and animals. The modules are a proven and stable design to attract yellowtail, kingfish and improve marine life. So I think the idea here is to draw boats away from the shipping lane, yeah. Basically.
Well, it was becoming quite dangerous because people were fighting the bottom with their jigs in front when ships were coming and they thought they were on kingfish.
How many are going to get onto that, though?
Yeah, I know.
Well, at least it's out of the ship lane.
Well, so. Yeah.
Well, there's 16 of them. So four clusters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll spread it out a little bit at least, but we had a kingfish hanging around one particular spot in Westernport this year, and there was some mayhem going on there with boats drifting around each other and jockeying for position. So that'll be
there was even people jumping on that certain boy and fish jigging from the boy.
You're mucking me.
No, we're not mucking here.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how quickly the kingfish congregate around that, whether it'll be this season or whether it will need some more growth on it.
Well,
or
it could become a great snapper fishery too, like Karam artificial. That holds a lot of snapper. So
definitely.
Yeah.
There's a really good Trevally reef around there too. So
is that near the marine park where all the dolphins hang out?
Like, sort of near there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if divers just like anchor on it and just get in everyone's way.
Well,
not that I'm against divers, but sharing the resource, you know what I mean?
We've got a few local Spiros that would be onto it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just going to hog it up and no one will be able to fish. But there's like three of them, isn't there?
Four clusters.
Oh, four. Yeah. Mm. There you go. And they're all marked on the GPS. I checked my Navionics update on my phone and it's there.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah.
Already in there, are they?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
The GPS
locations.
Well, how
successful was that fad in Torquay?
The tuna.
I definitely caught tuna near it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because of the fad or not, but
who knows? You'll never know.
I don't know because we don't go down there enough, so I don't know if people were catching kingfish there. Or
I went off Barwon River once this tuna season and, yeah, got one tuna and that was it. But, yeah, I don't know if it's because there's lots of tuna there or because of the fad. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, that's right. Another little discussion point that came across my podcasting desk.
Yes.
Because I've got one of them this week. Is on a page called Dead Rise on Facebook, Bear Willis, John Willis, has brought to attention there is a proposal for an offshore wind farm.
Oh, yes. I heard about this. This is...
Yeah.
They said they want to work with recreational anglers, but we all know that can turn to absolute crap.
So if you jump on my screen, Adrian,
yes.
I've looked up that actress you were talking about earlier. No.
Texas Alexis.
Yeah, that one.
Better close that search.
Better delete the history quickly. Yeah, there's...
That's one of our well-known tuna areas that is all shaded in green.
Literally, that's where we've been catching majority of the barrels
exactly.
Lately in tuna. But that's the proposed area. So they'll be deploying a whole heap of wind turbines, basically.
But that can take decades to erect, can't it?
So I'm not...
Shell laughed because I said erect.
So Star of the South Australia, is Australia's first offshore wind project located off the south coast of Gippsland. If built to its full capacity, it would generate up to 2.2 gigawatts. Is that a lot, Adrian?
It'd probably power about 100,000 homes or something.
Yeah, nice. of capacity powering around. Oh, here we go. Probably. How much did you say, sorry?
100,000.
You idiot.
What?
1.2 million homes.
There you go. That's what they say, but that's just charging your iPhone per house.
Got him, everyone. It would be one of the largest offshore wind farms in the world with up to 200 wind turbines.
Could you imagine the natural fads they're going to create? It could become great fishing.
Yeah. In a 496-kilometre squared licence area, the project has an estimated lifespan of around 30 years. That's not a lot.
No, it'll probably take 29 to complete, and then they're going to take it down in a year.
Is this going to be like the desal plant where they'll never spin?
Now, we'll all of a sudden start coal mining again, and we go, we've got no reason for these wind turbines anymore. Shit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But, yeah, it's definitely an area of interest for us. Whether or not we'll be able to, if they do end up going in there, what it's going to mean for our...
Well, I did read an article saying that they were going to work with recreational and commercial fishers just to get the vote across, I guess, and then they'll say, no, it's too dangerous, OH&S, no fishermen.
Yeah.
That could potentially happen.
After the fact, probably. Yeah. We always get shafted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on there.
But they're removing all the oil and gas rigs around that area, aren't they?
Yes, kind of that area.
Yeah.
A little bit further. Although, yeah, kind of spreads up that way. So maybe they're removing them to make way for the opposite.
Green energy.
The opposite of stealing things from the ground. Wind turbines.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Another little update here for you.
I'm on fire today. I'm ready to hear your update.
A Lake Mulwala update.
Oh, I did see the Murray and it looked quite swollen.
Yes, swollen.
It did. I saw videos of it.
No, you've just had some interesting choices of words tonight.
Is that not what you say? Swollen river?
Engorged, isn't
it? Yeah.
Both words, no.
Okay, fine. It's a bit moist up there.
Oh dear. Okay, so many thanks to the community. You can chuck this up on the screen too, Adrian.
Yep.
For their cooperation while we've taken this action. It has been great to see many visitors to the region during this time. So it's full again, by the way.
So they had the big draw, what do they call it, a drawback?
Drawdown.
Or drawdown to kill the algae.
Yep, so it's back to being 14.2 metres above the riverbed. I'm guessing that's in where the actual old river ran through.
Is that going to make it harder for me to catch a meter cod now?
It probably will. It probably will.
Oh dear.
I liked it when we had the option of cheating and just catching them when they had nowhere to swim. but yeah, so that has been refilled again. So they obviously killed off the algae or whatever it is that they were trying to get rid of when they emptied it.
Yeah.
And
well, they might not have had a choice whether they let the water back in or not because there's a lot of rain up there.
Yes.
So they probably like, okay, we're going to put water back in.
Yes.
Yeah, non-stop.
Yeah.
That's insane, isn't it? So, yeah, that's all accessible to everyone again. So
very good.
We'll probably go up there and just cook food the whole time and not catch any fish.
Yes.
That'll be very exciting. You got any big trips planned, Michelle? Any fishing trips?
No, not at this stage.
Just you filming?
I'm just going to wing it. Yep, the filming.
Yeah, very good.
Who knows where it'll take me?
Probably kingfish with Jason.
Kingfish with Jason.
Hopefully it'll be a good season.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
I'm hanging for it.
Yes. Yeah. We might actually catch one this year.
What, a kingfish? Yeah, I reckon I will.
I reckon we should do a Refuge Cove trip.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I've been trying to get down there for a while.
But imagine me and Dave sleeping in the 420 Renegade down at Refuge. Be lovely.
No,
you can throw the swag out on land.
Yeah.
With all the march boys.
We might want to cuddle up side by side.
We do. That's why we're going there. No, we'll probably maybe take the bigger boat.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, Jason, who you use your normal fishing partner, he's been on the never-ending holiday in WA for months.
I actually found out he got back 2 weeks ago.
I know, he actually got back.
He's leaving in 2 weeks.
He's going again.
He's going back again, yeah.
What, decking for this company again?
Yep.
Yeah. What was the charter called? I forgot.
Is it Blue Lightning?
Yes, I believe.
Blue Lightning.
Blue Lightning.
Okay.
So I think it's the Montebello region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I saw he caught a nice Spanish mackerel land base. Looked beautiful.
He's caught a few things, yeah. Yeah, so I think he's deck boss aboard
deck
that boat.
Deck boss, is he?
It seems to like just decky and just bum around on that boat somehow. I don't know if the owner's happy about it or not, but so we're going to have to get Jason to
living
hear
the life.
That's right, living the life. How's your life chat going, Adrian? You got Joe there still hammering you with questions?
No, not really. He stopped. He was more interested in chatting with Michelle. And
no, well, we're going to get to that.
Yes, because we actually went out fishing last week, didn't we, Dave?
Yeah, we certainly did. last Sunday.
Yep.
So, yeah, pretty tough day on the water. Why don't you tell everyone about our journeys over the day?
Well, we're in a 420 Renegade, Michelle. You don't really expect to do 263 kilometres in the day in a little 420 Renegade, do you? Because, yeah, if you have a look at that's my taco from the day. 263 kilometres.
I love tacos.
Where do you store all your fuel?
102 litres of fuel we used. And yeah, it was a big day.
Just throwing the money out.
Yeah, basically. Well, it's quite efficient, the 420 Renegade. Yeah. If we were in the big boat, we would have used about 350 litres of fuel that day.
We probably would have used
close
right
to
on its capacity, yeah. Around 250, 260.
Yeah, we launched off Stony and decided we'd go to Woolloomooloo because we'd lost one there the week before and nothing was happening there at all.
Well, it was a bit happening, but there was a hell of a lot of boats.
Yeah, there was a hell of a lot of boats, but there was actually one caught before we probably even got there.
Probably right as.
Yeah, right as we got there.
Well, I did get a message from a fella who actually did hook one next to us that we didn't even know about.
Okay.
Because I was right next to you guys when I hooked up. And I was like, oh, damn it.
Well, yeah, we didn't know about that and we caught a seal in the morning there and it was quite annoying.
We had a seal. Yeah. We did have seal interactions.
Yes.
But we won't discuss that one
too
much.
There's a lot more seals down that way this season too.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Woolloomooloo, there is a lot of whales in that area and there's a certain whale watch company.
Yes.
And they put up a post on Facebook. Was it Facebook?
Yeah, well.
Oh, is that you?
No. No, we're not harassing these large sea mammals.
So there's a thing called like Phillip Island whale watching or something on Facebook. And like, I don't know if they know this, but probably half their subscribers are probably tuna fishermen.
Yeah.
Just trying to work out where they've been seeing all the life.
Two-faced whale.
But someone put up a photo the other day of, oh, yeah, two whales in Sunderland Bay and it looks like there's three boats chasing chasing after it.
Well, there is regulations on these large mammals. I think you've got to be 500 metres away from them and and if you're flying a drone, you've got to be 100 metres above these animals.
I think it's more than that.
I'm
pretty sure it's 200 metres.
I looked up the DEPI from New South Wales and their rules say 100 metres.
Oh, Victoria's
is it
a bit
more,
tighter.
Is it because we have more spawning on the southern rights and
stuff? Yeah, I reckon it is. Yeah. But, they're quite sensory, so they'd be able to pick up those sort of things.
I flew some over a few months ago. I was about 600 metres above.
You were miles in
the
air.
I used my digital zoom.
You were basically.
You've got a good quality drone. You can zoom right in.
Yeah.
You were basically like a.
I was in the blowhole.
You were basically. No, you were like a satellite orbiting the Earth. You were that high up.
I was. I actually had to counteract the Earth's movement, rotation. So I had to keep moving it because I was that high up.
I'm trying to be really good and. Live Google stuff here, but
no, you won't find that up.
I am sure it is 200 meters in Victoria for a drone.
Yeah.
And then with boats, keep your distance. But sometimes you don't even realize that they're there and they pop up.
No, they're so sneaky, aren't they?
Try not to drive over the top of them.
I've had a few frights where they just pop up out of nowhere. So it is 200 meters. Unless you're in a jet ski, which is 300 metres.
Oh, wow.
They should be like kilometres away.
They're all hooligans and they can't be trusted around marine life.
Okay.
Is what that one is saying.
Don't trust.
And the rest?
They can't be trusted they can't be trusted around any life.
Have you seen Paddo River during summer? There's just gangs of
rye
too, safety beach.
You can't talk. You're one of them. You just crash and break your shoulder.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was years ago.
No, he did it once and it didn't end well for him.
Nah.
No, they get fined these days.
For crashing. because that's what Adrian did.
You can write down their number plate and they can get fined.
There you go. But, yeah, so we started in Woolamai.
There's one thing we like. It's snitches.
Snitches, we do.
Snitches are winners.
Oh, we're just trying to finish our trip here, Dave.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, we started in Woolamai and, you know, we didn't see much of what we liked. And Dave was harassing me like, oh, my brother saw heaps of life down at Cape Shank. Like, oh, that's about 30 Ks away.
Well,
all right, we'll go down there. And we got there and there was absolutely nothing, was there, Dave?
Yeah, but turns out we turned around about 2 Ks too early because there was heaps of life just further.
But there was no fish caught off it, I believe.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I think there may have been.
There you go.
So that's the jeopardy in big tuna hunting is you can be 500 metres off and you can't, unless you got super duper eyes, you might miss it and you're a loser.
So frustrating.
Yeah. That is very frustrating.
Yeah. It's either hero or loser.
Then we went back from Cape Shank back to Cape Woolamai and trolled there for another hour or so. And we decided to do a Hail Mary like Dave did on a recent trip and got one off towards Kilcunda area. No, even past it, Cody Bank Way. Went all the way to Cody Bank and saw nothing either. And made our way back from Cody Bank to Cape Woolamai again because that was the best, you know, life we saw. And, yeah, we just had a day of driving around the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, so any day on the ocean's a good day.
It is. We ate pies in the oven. It was a good day.
Bit of bromance going on there.
We're lovers from way back, no doubt about it. Did we want to check out some fishing reports since we're talking fishing reports, kind of?
Oh, yeah. Ours
was a boating report.
Ours was a sightseeing report.
Yes, it was.
Joe wants to know what songs we played that day.
Joey?
Yeah.
Well, should we discuss that?
What is going on with this Miley Cyrus business?
That's a Mitch Chapman thing.
Mitch loves Miley. Especially Party in the USA. And it's his number one go-to fishing song. Do you have a number one go-to fishing song, Michelle?
No, I tune out to it.
You tune out?
Yeah.
You don't just, go,
like, be one with nature.
I'm feeling the groove. ADHD, this is my song.
Just everything goes through your head.
So you've got songs going on in your head already.
I don't know what ADHD is like.
No, you've certainly never been diagnosed with it. And it's not that you show all the characteristics of an ADHD person. You've got it.
Oh, shit. Dave just diagnosed me with ADHD. Yeah, one of the teachers hated me at school.
That's a new line. That's an Adrian strand.
I don't think he has. Dr. Dave.
Yeah, no, you've definitely got it. But, yeah, we've actually set up a playlist. Or we didn't. Simon Webster, our main man, he set up a Wind Against Tide playlist.
Yeah.
So that all y'all out fishing can jump on there. We do need to audit it a little bit. Me and Adrian listened to it while we were tuna trolling.
I don't remember putting Cher on my list.
I think there was some Britney and
I don't mind a bit of Britney.
Yes.
Yeah.
We may need to work on that. If anyone has some suggestions for what they'd like
I think S-Club 7 came up at one stage.
Yes.
Michelle would be into S-Club 7.
No? What? No.
S-Club, no. I am.
I was more into like Chili Peppers in excess.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, same.
Next minute, Dave's got all his five albums. And
been big on the Wiggles lately, actually.
Didn't they go number one in Triple J's?
Yeah, they did, exactly. 100? That Simon man has a terrific range. He goes so low and so high. All right? They're underrated performers. Everyone needs to know that.
Fruit salad.
Yes. That guy.
Yes.
That was really good.
Was it?
Yeah. No. Can anyone edit a Spotify playlist? You're the tech man.
No, you can't edit someone else's playlist.
Oh, okay.
The creator has to make their own playlist and edit it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of wanted one where everyone could just add stuff to it.
Okay. Michelle, you got any ideas?
No.
We'll work on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. How about we shoot over to the reports then?
Yeah. Tell us what's been getting caught.
Alrighty. Here we go. The Simon Webster.
Oh, he's sent one in from Gippsland, has he?
Gippy report. Provided with a couple of photos, but they're in some weird tiny format. But you can chuck them up if you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Looks like a big fish, though.
That's a mega bream, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sure that will come to light.
Blue lipper.
As I read on, I'm sure that will become apparent why we were looking at that. The last week has seen anglers dealing with rising river levels with heavy rainfall in the Mitchell, Latrobe, Avon and Nicholson catchments. Is this a nice voice I'm using?
Yes.
Enjoying it?
Can you add a bit more soul to it?
Black bream have continued to fire, with the Mitchell and Holland's Landing probably the standouts.
This is late night radio.
We're side scanning.
Michelle's not.
We're side scanning the river edges. And
Michelle does not like your sassy voice.
Ambushing moving skeels has. Okay, I'll go back to normal. Has proved a popular method of getting on the fish with both plastics and bait. Bream in the 40-plus centimetre size are showing up regularly, and we expect these fish to continue to chase the freshwater to spawn in coming weeks. See pick attached. There you go.
Is that the one you put?
Yeah, that's the one I put up. Recently, Victorian Fisheries extended the Gippy Lakes 38-centimetre maximum size limit for black bream for another 12 months. So all fish over 38 centimetres must be released currently.
Oh, wow. So it's got like a slot, a yearly slot where it changes, does it?
Yeah, they've just implemented it probably to get that particular fishery back on track.
I did not know that. So that's just black bream that have a interchangeable size slot.
Well, they only get black bream there.
Yeah.
And it's location specific. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I never knew about that.
I'd love to see a slot limit for snapper, but the only issue is barotrauma there. You'd be releasing fish that are probably already dead.
Well, the South Oz snapper fishery is coming back next year.
Oh, they're reopening it.
Yeah, I think February.
Yep. Oh, I don't know. Don't look at me like I know. No. Come
on. Are you excited to go there to catch big, giant?
I can't wait to go back to South Oz.
Ooh, our beers fell over. Yeah, no, that'll be awesome. I haven't been there for the big dogs, but...
I think Michelle's more talking about going to Kangaroo Island for the King George Whiting.
Yes.
Yes, or Tassie.
You go to Tassie now. Yeah.
Yes, big, big 60-centimetre ones.
Yes, it's, how good. Well, apparently we've got them in Victoria.
I actually have heard that from a couple of Flinders locals.
I have heard the fishery is heading up in Tassie. These King George Whiting are getting bigger and more of them, and... Even anglers who chase snapper, Dave, used to catch 10 a year. Now they're catching a couple of hundred a year.
Yes.
They just said the waters are slightly warming up and the fish are just becoming more, you know, schooling up bigger and bigger and the fish are getting bigger too.
I think anglers are more into it as well because there's a guy over there and I've forgotten his name temporarily. He's caught heaps of, like, snapper over 20 pound.
I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, why can't I remember his name? Anyway, not many people chase him, I don't think, and he's sort of – that was his niche. And like, and inside, like, estuaries and stuff.
I did see that.
Catches a lot more big snapper than we do. So, yeah.
Look, we used to catch a lot of big snapper. We just don't put as much effort in this anymore.
They're frustrating. No.
Yeah, they can be.
You have to come out of our shell. Because it can be quite entertaining. We put the Weber on. We get some chops and snags on.
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, Miley Cyrus. You can sing Party in the USA with us. Yeah. And we just wait for the rods to buckle and we fight over who's going to wind it in.
Sounds delightful. I like to play the fish. I like to have the rod in the hand.
Oh.
Well, you can do that bit. We'll be busy chop grilling.
Yeah.
Chop grilling.
I should probably finish the report, eh?
Yeah.
You're right. I'm happy to go off on tangents. I don't mean to be a stickler. According to all survey, things are looking fantastic for bream recovery and anglers are experiencing some fantastic fishing. Small schools of tailor still moving about in Lake King. I didn't even know that existed. And can be caught on both silver lures, cast and trolled slowly. Also, a few small to mid-sized snapper recently made an appearance inside the entrance at lakes between 3 to 4 kilo.
Oh, wow. That's
not that
great.
Small.
They're like 70-centimetre fish. That's great.
4 kilo, that's probably 65.
You reckon?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Which is not common to...
prove you wrong.
Yeah.
I'll prove you wrong this time. Year. I reckon 70 centimetres is about 4 kilo.
4.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
it remains to be seen if they will remain inside. Once the weather begins to warm up, it's likely bass will start to poke their heads out in the upper reaches.
Are you talking about bass groper or
yep.
or just boring Australian
bass? No, I'm talking about bass groper being in the upper reaches of rivers, Adrian. Australian bass.
Yes, I know, I got it.
Yes. Fool. Lake's entrance, Lake Tyre's entrance remains open and quite deep. Several winter flathead up to 75 centimetres have been landed over the last week on lures. One brim recently landed measured 49.5 centimetres.
Yeah, that's a bloody big brim.
A real fish of a lifetime. See, pick. It's a very tiny pick again.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is a big fish.
Tiny pick, but a big fish.
He's sending you really small
files. I don't know how. But anyway, Ben River entrance is still also open and moving a lot of water. Cheers, boys. And thank you, Simon. Your involvement in the podcast is very much appreciated. Yeah. And
I'll certainly be going up that lake to find those back scraper from his report.
Yes. I can't wait to see you do that. Hey, are you going to read the Jonah report, Adrian?
I don't even know Jonah had a report.
Yeah,
I did see a photo from him. He stole old Bob's sea bass.
Mm.
Been fishing for 50 years. But
would have been smart if I saved that photo, but I didn't. So I guess what you're saying is you want me to read it.
I didn't even know you sent a report. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, you've said that already. A lot of excuses going on. Okay, I'll read it. The bluefin, this is Joni Yick, everyone. Black Magic Tackle Man, Tasmanian Fisher Extraordinaire.
All-round legend. Everyone knows Jonah.
Everyone knows him today.
Like everyone came to the Black Magic Tackle stand and they're like, oh, that's Jonah, that's Jonah. They're all obsessed. Yep.
Yes. There you go.
And I'm like, but what about her next to the picture? Like, what about that one with the whiting?
Were they like Jonah from Wind Against Tide? Or
my picture was next to his.
Oh, I see. I got it.
I actually made Jonah famous. I actually went tuna fishing early this year in Tassie. And I created a video where a seal jumped in the boat on top of me. And from that day onwards, Captain Jonah became a household name.
Yeah. I made especially in Tassie. Actually, back in 2014.
That was pretty awesome footage, though.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoyed it?
Yeah, I did.
Well, there's Jonah with his sea mullet.
Oh, you've done it. Yeah. You're like a tech guru.
He's looking really fit at the moment, too.
Yeah.
No, he's hideous.
Jonah likes to have every bit of spare time he can. So in his lunch break, he'll walk 2 kilometres to the shops, do his grocery shopping in his lunch break, and then walk back to work. So he gets more free time at home to do fishing stuff.
Yeah, I know, because he calls me every time he's walking just to fill the time in, even when it's not efficient for me to be answering the phone.
Yeah.
He just likes to talk to me while he's walking. All right, well, we'll go through his report.
Yeah.
The bluefin run continues at Eaglehawk Neck with one charter boat landing 110 kilo bluefin from 3 strikes. Striped trumpeter are still going well on the bottom, with many people focusing on the inshore grounds prior to the close of season coming next month. Pedro Branca has been fishing well for striped trumpeter as well, as the odd few school bluefin about. Good numbers of jackass, more wong.
Jackass. What are trumpeters like on the table?
Apparently they're absolutely delicious.
What, jackasses?
Yes, no, trumpeter.
Trumpeter.
Yeah, a lot of people will fish for them because they're so delicious.
Yes, here's a photo actually.
You got a photo?
Here's a photo sent in of some trumpeters.
Where's your photo?
It's on my computer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's Mickey D.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not Mickey D. I thought it was Michelle stitched me up. She goes, "That's Mickey D with trumpeters."
She did not. But it'll become apparent.
No, but it does look like him.
Nah, it doesn't.
Really?
It doesn't.
Okay.
Or maybe it does. I don't know. We'll work out who that is in a minute. Many people. Where am I even at? You've distracted me. Good numbers of jackass moorhung and ocean perch have also been caught as bycatch. He is in the northern hemisphere and managed to sneak in a fish in Wales, catching a lovely sea bass on a soft.
Caught a whale
in Wales.
I got it.
Catching a lovely sea bass on a soft plastic, which he's written the hashtag first. I think he thinks he's the first one to ever do that. Tides have a 6 to 7 meter difference, so quite hard to fish. He's also given us a discussion point for a little bit later, which we'll get to.
I saw his photo with him holding that mullet thing, and there's a lot of kelp on those rocks.
Yes, can't be kelped.
No. Oh,
thanks, Dad.
I'm a dad, I'm allowed. So the photo is Tasmanian winding and starter James Robinson with his Pedra stripies, which look like Kraken stripy dogs.
The big dogs.
That's right. Apparently, yeah, I've heard they fight really hard and they're really good eating.
I can't believe, like, a deep sea critter like them have a closed season. Unbelievable. Well,
they're being protected when they're spawning.
Yeah. So they're quite vulnerable when they're spawning, are they?
Yeah, like snapper are, but we don't give a shit.
that's when everyone finds out.
We just catch them anyway. But yeah, that's what it's they're strange, doing.
Wouldn't it be great if Tea Tree came and would just catch like three and...
No, that's done now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's gone.
Well, I think no that's getting with the times, isn't it? It's like... Yeah, it's more of a brag mat kind of comp thing going on these days rather than killing and grilling.
There's a fair bit of cheating going on too, I think.
In the
tell us more.
Wasn't there a few from the fish market?
Welcome back to Michelle Britton's in-depth investigation into cheating in the Tea Tree Snapper Fishing Competition. Do you want to tell us who we're accusing,
Michelle? It's the Colonel, was it? You're telling me the Colonel.
No knowledge.
Well, it can't be the Colonel because he filmed his.
Yes, he beat everyone.
Yeah.
So you think there's been some snapper that look a little bit suspect, do you?
There was.
Yeah. Oh, there was. She's not. It's not alleged.
Which one?
It's actual fact. As a matter of fact.
That's why they ended up canning it in the end.
Do you think so? Yeah, that's why.
I thought they canned it because the sponsors gave up.
Well, and that too, probably.
Yeah. Because there's a couple of like boat giveaways and outboards and stuff, and
that sucks because we were going to cheat this year.
Yeah, Dave, it's been like how long? 5 years since it's.
What are we going to do with that one that we've got in the freezer?
The 30-pounder that we imported from New Zealand.
Yeah,
it's in glad wrap. Don't worry, it'll be good.
We've cryovacked it in salt water. It's fine. It's still glistening.
We'll present it to the land, still in an ice block, encased in ice.
Yeah,
maximum weight. Speaking of snapper.
Oh,
good segue, snapper. Dave. I've got a great report here from Luke Smith from the Southwest, and he sent through these sick photos of these snapper he's been catching out of the deep.
Yeah.
On the jig. If you throw them up, Adrian, how's that? Insane scenes.
So where's this?
He's fishing
Portland, Warrnambool.
He'll probably tell us in a second when I read the report, but he's fishing out of like Port Ferry, Warrnambool region, I think.
Yeah.
So there's another one, and you can see there that's a real quality fish.
Yep.
So, releasing fish up to 5 to 6 kilo, apparently.
Okay, that's great.
And that is what he's dropping to on the sounder. So, you can see there's a large aggregation.
Oh, wow. That looks like bait.
That's the red tide, Adrian.
Yep.
Looks like bait.
Certainly is.
Pulling the snappers out of that. So, oh, there's another one. That's a pretty cool photo.
I'd be keen to do more of that plastic and jig fishing this year.
Yeah.
I think we only did it once this year.
It's hard to barbecue while you're jigging, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people are actually interested in the soft plastics this year.
Yeah.
There's been a few questions on one of the Western Port pages because they want to know how the soft plastics go in Western Port.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can do it. It's doable. Mm. You got to cast to the front of the boat and...
No, well, you just pick the areas you're doing it.
Oh.
The low tidal flow areas and or round tide changes.
Yeah, round tide change, you can get fish. A lot of people think you can't catch fish on slack tide, but you can.
Mm. Okay. It's challenging.
Yeah,
Port Phillip's probably a better fishery for that. But down in Welshpool, which is similar to Western Port, they get a lot of big snapper on the metal jigs.
Yeah,
so,
and we've actually caught a lot of fish on slack tide while the boat's spinning at Welshpool. So it is slightly different fishery somehow.
That's right. I'll rip through this report. Whilst the weather has still been poor in the southwest, there's been a few small windows to head offshore. Port Mac has slowed up more on the tuna front as they have moved on, but there still is a few kicking about. I've heard some good bream and perch coming from Nelson's, from Simpson's to Donovan's. Portland has fired up with the barrels. They've been behind the rock in around 50 to 70 metres. However, some have got them at Bridgewater as well. Note for everyone that Warrnambool offshore ramp is closed and finally a new ramp is being constructed. That's pretty cool. With the rain in the last 2 weeks, more people have been out in the creeks getting trout with fresh flows coming down. Lake Bull and Mary and Parambate have still been producing, with one brown at Parambate going 11 pounds.
Wow.
That's a big dog on a surface lure too.
I've been impressive to see.
And
11-pound fish on a surface lure, bang.
Amazing. And he finishes with Apollo Bay's seen a red-hot tuna bite with plenty of barrels being caught there as well in several different areas, which I should have got a photo of Dimmer's catch from the other day.
Yeah, he got some. I spoke with him yesterday, actually, at the tackle shop, and he was like, it is incredible, untouched thing. We didn't even – we just went out there and we just marked up these marks on the thing. We go, let's drop some baits down it with the electric, and he goes, it's just insane.
Yes.
Big barrel blue eye.
Wow, that's it. The tuna, the 100 or 90-odd kilo tuna they were catching – at the end of the day, took a back seat because they caught these giant blue eye that were like literally over 20 kilos. So long run out there. The shelf from Apollo Bay is like 90 something kilometers.
Yeah,
so
it is a long run.
That is not for the faint of hearted.
You'd basically be at King Island on there.
Oh, look, you wouldn't be too far off it. Proceed with caution if you plan on trying to replicate that fishing. But he also said the big tuna were sort of on the way in, just middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just crazy action.
How many barrels did they get?
They got like three or something and like lost a couple or something like that.
That's
like
crazy. All to themselves.
All within like half an hour.
Yeah.
Just one of those dream days. Day of days, that one.
Yeah.
So congratulations to those boys. Well done. Awesome fillets.
Yeah.
It'll be nearly time for your wife to get it back out of there.
We're talking about a bit of squid fishing with Sam next time we get some good weather. So we'll warm him up to that. I don't think she's going to want to go offshore though, because she's the seasickness has taken a hold.
Oh.
It'll get better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You might have to give her a call and talk her back into it.
It's just post-baby.
It was pre-baby.
Oh, pre-baby as well.
Well, if she watches the podcast, she would have seen Joey's tuna starter pack. And that involves, what are those tablets called? Quails?
The quails.
Yeah.
Well, I've been telling her, apparently there's these compound chemist ones you can get, the DT flogs.
Okay.
That are really, really effective, so.
Yeah.
She's
sleep and hydration too.
Yeah. I think she's a bit scarred from previous seasickness episodes.
I think if you put someone who gets sick quite easy, if you put them on the wheel, gives them something to concentrate on, and it takes their mind off that motion sickness because they're seeing what they're doing, bouncing up and down.
Yeah, true. But so. I don't think she'd know where to steer in terms of...
Well, you got a GPS. You can mark it on your GPS.
But like when there's birds and...
Oh, yeah.
Might take a little bit of practice before... Look, I'm a control freak, all right? I need to be on the way. Another report.
Might surprise you.
Oh, no. I was thinking that actually as I said that. She'd probably do better than I would. So another red hot report here, Adrian.
Yeah.
On my computer is from our man, Mitch Chapman.
Oh, Mitchie. Now, is this at least 13 months old?
I can only assume that this is very recent capture.
A full 9 inches down the throat.
So, yeah, he's caught it on...
Hashtag cream pie. No. David.
See you next week, everyone. So there's this very up-to-date report he's put on social media of some lovely Eildon cod caught in the nighttime on his biwa.
What's it called?
What called? Biwa. Capsis.
I can't tell what kind of lure it is.
Well, it's basically a soft plastic swim boat.
So it's like a paddle tail thing.
One of the ones that EJ Todd, Mitch's employers, import. An effective lure, I'm told.
EJ Todd and Son imports.
Yeah, so thanks for the up-to-date report there, Mitch. We know that that was probably hot off the press, knowing you. Could only assume.
Well, I'd say that's at least 3 or 4 months old, knowing Mitch.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that.
Nah.
I've got an international one just quickly. Check this one out, Adrian. 1,067 pound. That's a grander blue marlin.
That's captured. A blue marlin.
Yes, captured out of Portugal. So
that is a big blue.
Yeah.
Now, was it caught on a Halco Laser Pro?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know, but yeah, for sure.
We have seen report. Yeah, that's one on the wall there.
That is the one. They borrowed it and brought it back.
Yeah. No, there was a blue marlin that was caught on a laser probe with the original trebles on it. Do you remember that, Dave?
Yes, I do remember.
It was a 1,000-pounder as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, that's a pretty cool capture. I did have one more, but I seem to have lost it. Classic me. I think I had a capture of the week written down, but I've probably... Hang on.
Oh, you didn't get us a King Kong Donkey Kong?
No, I will.
We didn't even do your hookup music because we went straight into it.
Oh, shit. We didn't, did we? We are really crap. If you could just pad for time for me really quickly, Adrian, that'd be fantastic. But
yeah. So, yeah, Dave's trying to find his catch of the week, and catch of the week normally gets the King Kong Donkey Kong. You heard that before, Michelle?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's one of Dave's good mates who's taken fishing a lot, and he just randomly says some random things, and this is what he said once.
Yeah, King Kong Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he caught a kingfish, and that's the first thing he said.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So we've ran with that as our catch of the week catchphrase.
Yes, absolutely classic. And we are getting those hoodies made for those asking.
Yeah.
I think I saw.
Yeah, there's a kingfish. Yes.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I can't get this photo up. I suck. But I'll read it for you, but I don't have the photo.
Okay.
My catch of the week was from a guy named Christian Olal. You might remember that
name. Oh, yes, yes.
He sent in a few questions. He actually messaged me the other week saying, oh, God, I've sort of been struggling to get my first big bluefin. And what do you know? He goes out a week later out of Woolamai.
Yeah.
And sends this message. Hey, mate, just wanted to say thanks for the help getting my first barrel. If it wasn't for listening to your podcast and watching all your videos over the years, I don't think it would have happened. It's not true, but thank you. Took a bluey wedgie in the short corner, and he was in 26 metres of water off Woolamai.
Yeah.
Which I believe triggered about a million boats to be driving around in the shallows of there Woolamai for next week.
Got him.
Thanks, Adrian. You're so good at this. I shouldn't be allowed to have a computer.
So, yeah, there he is, 106. And he's basically listened to a lot of our podcasts and listens to what Dave likes to run in his spread. And I think he's copied Dave's spread like to the T.
Yeah.
What lures he runs in short corner, shotgun, long rigger. He's just done exactly how Dave does it.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's nice to be able to help people.
Yeah. And he messaged Dave as soon as he got that fish and said, thanks for, everything you guys, all the information you give us on the podcast. And
well, at the end of the day, that's really why we're doing it. Yeah. It's to help other people out. And when they're nice people like that, then it makes it really awesome.
Absolutely.
Not like the people that message after we catch barrels sometimes demanding where did you get it?
Now, they start off real subtle first. Okay, which entrance? And you say the entrance. Where? Kilcunda or
cat? Because the fish don't swim.
Some people start off with the, hey, mate, how you been? I saw you got a nice fish the other day. And then they wait for you to respond. Then they go, oh, so whereabouts roughly? Where'd you get it? But there was one guy, he messaged us just with a, where did you go? And kind of, I thought that's a bit rude. So I didn't really reply.
Yeah.
He then messaged my personal account. Didn't reply to that one. He then wrote a comment on the YouTube video when I put the YouTube video out and asked on there. I thought, geez, that man is persistent. I'm still not telling him. But if you watch our latest YouTube video of Joe releasing his barrel, you'll probably work it out pretty quickly. Not that it matters.
Yeah.
Because the fish move. But yeah, did we want to check out some questions, Adrian, on Instagram?
We got questions, do we?
Well, God, I hope we do.
Did Michelle get any questions?
Yeah. Well, Joe's definitely got some questions from Michelle that we'll get to. But we'll go through the ones on Insta. Are you still getting that up?
No, I've got it here.
All righty. Here we go. So, Simon has sent in, if the wind turbines end up on the Western Port tuna grounds, would you be allowed to retrieve your spreader bar if you got it snagged?
Well, being 500 metres behind the boat, you probably wouldn't notice that it's gone.
Yes, yes, sure, why not? You want to read one there, Adrian?
Yeah, well, Bowley's asking for an update for Joey's pond fishing adventures overseas, but I did reply to him saying Joey's on next week to talk about his exotic trout farm experience.
That's right. We're going to get a massive update from Joe next week, and I'm sure it'll be in true Joe form with some great tales. We've got a few questions come into Messenger, private Messenger as well.
Yeah, what's in that, Dave?
So Aaron Holding has sent in, hey guys, love listening to the show. My question is to do with land-based/kayak fishing, which we excel at, as you know. I've struggled a bit using soft plastics in Port Phillip Bay this winter season, making me go back to soaking baits instead at times. What is your advice for poor weather/high winds/cold temps that we've seen a lot of this winter season? Talking go-to lures or practices that work during these hard-to-fish months, apart from squid, because I think they're a bit easier is what he's saying. They're the only species this weather hasn't seemed to affect in the bay. Cheers.
Well,
thoughts, people?
Well, I think my go-to plastic would be a nuclear chicken jerk shad 10-inch. And you just got to be persistent. But you know what really helps with that plastic fishing in Port Phillip Bay is having a bow-mounted motor.
I thought you were going to say Starlo's juice.
Well, that does help too. Putting a bit of S-factor on.
Starlo's excretion.
Starlo's secret sauce. And he's packeted it into a nice little squirty tube and we rub it all over.
The lures.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't put it on a nuclear chicken jerk shad because they're already scented and it's basically food.
Mm. But
isn't it like garlic and a seed?
Oh, Starlo's juice. Or
no, the jerk shads.
Oh, yeah. No. Michelle loves it.
Have you got any secret lures, Michelle?
Well, after that, I don't know.
No? Staying away from that one?
Well, I haven't done a lot of plastics fishing.
Yeah.
But like the southern end of the bay, you would just go in closer up around the marinas. So you're hidden from the weather and you're in the warmer pools and you've got your nice sand patches and your weed and I mean, that's pretty much where they all head to over winter as well.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to that time where the land-based anglers look for that really rough weather blowing onshore, which is the shittest time to be fishing comfort-wise, but probably the best because...
Well, it's good for snapper.
Yeah, because it stirs up all the food.
Why do they go into the shallow areas, especially around that Mount Martha area? And
well, they smell the fish and chip shops on shore. Because the rough weather is churning up the bottom there, digging up all the crustaceans and stuff, creating an easy feed, and also it muddies the water up, which provides
nutrients.
So basically you want to be standing with the gale blowing straight in your face, waves coming over you, and that's where you want to cast your rods out. And I know
the most enjoyable conditions to sit on the rocks.
That's right. Mornington Pier, popular for this. Mordialloc, Mount Martha Rocks, pretty much anywhere along that eastern seaboard of Port Phillip.
So you reckon this time of year is more productive land-based than on the boat?
Ooh, possibly.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have better barbecues land-based.
Can you, if the gale force winds in your boats?
Not fishing the aforementioned conditions. Yeah.
But honestly, I reckon a bow mount motor helps with the lure fishing for these snapper.
Oh, 100%.
Because you can stay on those marks and drop baits or, you know, lures straight onto them, and that did help us the one time we went out.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of boats around us, all bait fishing, and no one was catching snapper, and we caught a few on plastics.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like 6 kilo fish as well, not just little pinkies. So it did help.
Yeah, for sure. My go-to lures for snapper would basically be when they're in a slower, more mooching mood, would be just anything with like a wriggle tail, a lot of inbuilt action.
So you want smaller jig head so it drifts a bit slower.
Yeah, you're virtually barely moving the lure.
Goes like this.
You're very, very... if you think you're retrieving it slowly, slow it down again.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the action's inbuilt. Something like a Z-Man's grub.
Motor oil.
Or is it... What's the bigger one? A Streaks or something?
Oh, I forgot.
The flatties love motor oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely do.
But
so
snapper's more white.
Are they?
Wouldn't you go for more
of a white prejudice?
A white colour?
I don't know. Adrian's... Well, we've caught them on, Lumo chicken and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. We just, yeah.
Yeah, generally I do tend to start with a natural bait presentation, something they're used to seeing. When it's like peak snapper season, you can actually go something that requires a bit more action. Like we used to use the squidgy flick baits,
yep.
Which is like just a jerk shad in the pilchard colour and really hop it.
Oh, yes, yes.
So like a,
are they good?
So it's like an injured pilchard, just hop it up and down on the bottom. And that was really effective like that.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely give the injured pilchard a shot this year.
Yeah, give the injured pilchard a shot, Adrian. We used to even sit in the rod holder and just the wave action would make it like spasm yep. on the bottom.
And don't be afraid if you're drifting on these in Port Phillip Bay with your plastics. Don't be afraid to have a couple of bait rods in the holder.
I'd be afraid.
Yeah, because they will catch as well.
Yeah.
Especially and they're not in the way either. Especially if you've got a console boat, you can kind of cast your lures all around the boat.
Mm. Yeah. So great tips. Thank you. Aaron sent another question. I've seen a lot of guys doing different things in terms of rigging baits for gummy sharks off the beach from places like Joanna Beach and Fitzroy River Mouth. What do you guys think is the
good
best
surf rig? Beach, Joanna?
Yeah.
For, big, big surf.
It's hectic too.
Big, big.
It's heckers. Guys, what do you think is the best rig for land-based fishing for gummy shark? I've done like zero of that.
Yes.
Have you done much of that, Michelle?
Not land-based.
Oh, I reckon you just want a paternoster with a nice big sinker and just boom it out there.
Oily baits.
Oily baits.
Too much karma for me if I land-based for sharks.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be
not bring them into where I surf.
You don't want them to become familiar with
like a saltwater crocodile where they just recognise where you're camping and they just gobble you up. Yeah.
Maddie just messaged me saying about me not letting her drive the boat. What's that?
Yeah, they're more successful in the gutters at night time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surfing's good at night time too, I've heard.
Yeah. Because you're the only one who gets to take the wave.
Exactly.
You don't have to fight everyone.
Yeah.
That's right. One more question there. Yep. Jonah sent through a discussion point, actually.
Sent through a discussion point.
We might finish on... So he's written, what does everyone prefer, fishing waters and locations you know well and excelling at fishing them, travelling to new places to fish?
Now, I'm going
to
hold you up there. Is he pumping his own tyres here?
Probably.
Probably. He is, isn't he?
He tends to do that. So excelling at fishing locations abroad, I think he was saying.
Yeah.
Travelling to new places to fish and working things out on your own. Traveling to new places and fishing on a charter or with a local who is very experienced to put you on the fish. All have positive negatives from cost to catch satisfaction. If money was no option and you could fish one of these three ways, which would you pick? Ooh, interesting, interesting. Do you think, Michelle?
Most times when you're on holiday, I think you just want to, you don't have much time to work it out for yourself, so you just probably go on a charter who's well known for catching big and great fish. That's what I would do. What about you, Shell?
Yeah, well, you would get the local knowledge first, but I like having my own adventure and finding my own spots.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a good challenge and it's more rewarding at the end of it.
100%. It's more rewarding if you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
If you find
a good spot as well.
Yeah.
So we'll tell Joey that. Don't go to exotic trout farms.
I think that, 100%. I mean, like, if you are time poor and you just want immediate results, obviously, it's a massive step up to go with a local or a charter operation. But ultimate satisfaction would be going up there using all your own gear, maybe even your own boat, and landing that fish of a lifetime. But it can certainly be the tough way to do it. And you really need a good amount of time because it'll probably take you 3 or 4 days just to work out what's what.
You could be fishing in a zone where no fish even go through.
Yeah, which is what we tend to do quite often. But he said money is no option, so I can just stay up there till I work it out, basically.
There you go.
Yeah. Is that all the questions?
I think so.
Was there one more? I thought there was one on the questions from old...
Michelle, have you got any topics you wanted to bring up while you're here?
No.
Just here for the banter and the discussion?
And the beer, yep.
Yeah, and the beer. Well, there's another beer there if you'd like.
Any WRF events coming up that you'd like to plug? Or Black Magic, WRF, either?
Yeah, well, this weekend I'm at the 4x4 show.
This weekend? Wow.
Yeah, Saturday.
That's coming around quick.
Yeah, where you can get your rubber mats from.
We'll be there. Actually, we could be there. Take the kids.
Yeah, possibly.
Should be good.
Adrian looks keen.
So I'll be at the Regal Marine stand.
Regal Marine.
Come find me.
Regal Marine. Very good. That'll be so anyone who wants to go in there and meet Michelle, she'll give you a free hat if you say.
What kind of hat are we talking about?
I don't know. I've just thrown that on her. You better find some hats quickly.
You won't find me.
She'll be hiding. But yeah, go and say good day to Michelle. She's very lovely and worth chatting to.
Yeah.
And she'll show you all the cool products down there at the 4x4.
Yeah, will you be on one of those monster trucks going, you know, 30 feet in the air over mountains of dirt?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good.
That's what I'm there for.
Monster truck madness.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
All right, Adrian, what do you think? Is there anything else you wanted to wrap up with? Actually, yeah. I'm wrapping myself up prematurely.
Yeah.
I did want to quickly mention we have a new video coming out tomorrow night.
Oh.
So you can get home. I think it's releasing about 5:30. I did have it set at 5:30 a.m. and then Adrian said, Dave, you're an idiot. You've put it in a.m. instead of p.m.
Yes.
It'll be up tomorrow night, so this will be – the big tuner that me and Kevin Bahaja got.
As you can tell, Dave's very computer smart.
No,
I mean illiterate.
Well, I did edit it.
Yes.
I'm not computer illiterate. I've just got a new laptop and I'm learning it, all right, guys? I haven't used Mac operating systems on the computer very much.
Yeah.
So leave me alone.
Well, I might throw one thing out there if I can.
Yeah.
If anyone can find me a gearbox for my motor.
Oh, what kind of?
The seashell.
Yeah, the seashell.
Oh, she's, seashell.
Yeah, the seashell's been off the water for too long now.
Wow. Yeah.
So she's missing a gearbox.
Just like the lower leg, the whole thing's off.
Yes, she's so they're struggling to find one. It's a 90s model. I don't have
What is it? A Yamaha?
It's a Yamaha 40.
40 two-stroke.
Yeah. But yeah.
Unfortunately, they banned sales of two-stroke motors a few years back.
Yeah, but hopefully there's someone with one. Yeah, yeah. There might be someone with a parts motor kicking around and they happen to listen to this
podcast.
I'm sure
there's a couple of like 50s floating around at old workshops and stuff. And
someone just provide Michelle a new motor, even better.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, anyone listening wants a representative, a great representative.
Maybe Black Magic could get her a new motor.
The Black Magic motor.
They spoil me enough.
Very good. Fair enough. Well, yeah, if anyone has a Yamaha 40 horsepower gearbox kicking around, Shell's very keen. So you can contact her over her socials or just contact us and we'll let her know.
Got to get the seashell back.
Yes.
The seashell will be back.
We want to see her whacking some... Oh, no.
We want to see Michelle catching squid and doing these barbecues on her boat again.
Oh, man.
How good is that?
We forgot to ask Michelle.
Michelle and her friend...
Well, Em's living in Cairns now.
Oh, she's living in Cairns now, yeah.
She's coming back in September for a weekend. For snapper season. So I might be able to try and get her back on the boat for a cook-up.
Yeah. It's still quite cold in September. She's moved to Cairns. It's a big temperature difference.
It is a massive temperature difference.
Joe asked us questions we forgot to answer. But
what did Joe ask us?
Can we be bothered?
No, we'll save Joe to next.
I feel like we're wrapping up already. I'll finish on one other thing.
Yeah.
The Melbourne Boat Show.
Oh, yes.
We want in.
Oh, yeah.
We want in. Yeah. We want to stall. We want to do a full day of podcasting at the Melbourne Boat Show.
3 days.
We've put the call out to BIA Victoria via email. No response. We haven't heard back yet. This was only yesterday, though.
We've got a mate who used to be head of the board as BIA, and
they seem very hard to contact.
Yeah.
So please, BIA, write back to us, or if anyone, or alternatively, any company out there has a stand already and has room for our table.
Yeah.
We just want a little bit of room and once it's in there, we would be more than happy to jump on board there and bring some customers around to your own area.
Michelle might even jump on too, but we'll have to keep her PG rated this time.
Yeah, Michelle will come on. We're going to get everyone on.
What do you mean?
She's got a lot of smirky remarks going on here. No, explicit.
People love that. Yeah, don't you change. Don't you change.
All
righty.
I'm putting all the heat on Michelle here.
Yeah, you're the one that prods these responses out of people, Adrian.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. You're the assassin.
Yeah.
All righty.
So you're wrapping us up?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Will you let me?
Yeah.
Are you done?
I'm going to press your thing.
What's up, you bloody legends? Thanks for listening to Win Against Tide again. That's it for another episode. please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'd be doing us a massive favor. Thanks, guys.